Good afternoon. Yeah. I'm normally a cleaner. I'll be sharing with just to, in a real sense of sharing, because we believe that this is a discussion session where I know we've got time constraints, but what we agree is that each and everyone can share something today, because we are here to share ideas, we are here to discuss and think up what is it that you want to do properly in this commission. Yes. We are in commission 3. And what we are, maybe before I even get to what you are supposed to be doing, it's always a norm now that you start with the round rules, but I won't go further on that one. It's just one request, honorable members, that let us just respect each other if ever there is a speaker on the floor. No matter maybe he or she raises a point that we are not comfortable or we are not that much comfortable with, let us just respect, give her a hearing, and then when you get in, you can say what you want, but please let us refrain from the speaker once the speaker is on the floor. But again, due to time constraints again, then we must make sure that even when we do the input, let us avoid preambles, let us avoid being long, let us have to brief on the points that you want to do, so that at the end we can be able to come up with the resolutions that we are expected to come up with as a commission. Our commission is Commission 3, where we're looking at gender-based violence and budget. We do have guidelines on this commission. We do have some questions that we need to focus on, as to say at the end, towards the end, our resolution will be on. Like the objective of this commission is, we need to discuss why it is important to discuss gender-based violence broadly. It is critical that the session illustrates a practical attempt that it illustrates in practical terms the exercise of analyzing bias through gender lens. We are all from the legislature, but from the NGOs, we are interested in knowing what's happening, how to bias. Our focus will be using the gender lens, and I'm happy gender, because when you look at gender violence, because that is what we are going to be discussing. It is important to understand that you are looking at kind of violence that is directed to the person on the basis of gender. Yes, we understand, we all agree that most of the time we as females we become victims, but what we are going to be looking at today, because we are tackling the gender-based violence with budget. Let us look at the issue of budget in our country through the gender lens to say what is it that the various departments can do. What is it that, how can we budget make sure that the issues of gender violence are being taken for, not as by the way, but that will even help us as the legislators to make sure that when we do our oversight to Rome, we know exactly that those are the things that have been budgeted for, and what is it, because it will even assist more on the monitoring, by the way, as today, what is it that even every department is doing, how is it that the country are budgeting to monitor the progress on the issues of gender violence? That is our main discussion that we are going to be having today, where all of us will come up with ideas, and what we are requesting in the end is that we come up with two or three of resolutions that will be named as we are saying, as that we are going to be saying as the commission. These are the resolutions, this is what we agreed upon, is to say how are we going to do at gender violence and the budgeting thereof, all of us here moving together. So that is our main task that we are here. We only have almost an hour. Surely we will make it. We have an hour to do today. But before we even start our discussion, I will then hand over to our resource person, Joy, which is going to give us a summary of what has been discussed around this topic, and just guide us again as to say how can we restructure our ideas moving forward in the formulation of our resolutions, or the future.
Thank you, Tim. Basically, Scott was saying that, when we had the previous Joint Monitoring Committee on the Quality of Life Improvement of State for Women, they initiated a women's budget for medicine. Unfortunately, when that committee ceased to exist, that initiative fell away. It has been heavily criticized and heavily extended by the people in Parliament. So this question is based on this book that was in the text. And this book, this study came from the fourth Parliament, which is the Select Committee on Women, Children, Persons with Disabilities, trying to do an exercise and trying to cost what is gender based violence cost the government. And I think that what I started by saying was that this is a very difficult exercise to do. Even for us as Parliament, we have to go to the departments and approach tax, we approach the Department of Justice, we approach the Department of Health, and we approach the Department of Social Development. And what happened is that even though it was in the name of the committee, we were able to get responses from social development and from health. But we got responses from police and from doctors. And what was showed up was that those departments didn't always know what they were spending on gender-based violence. So when Parliament asked them to go and calculate the costs, they literally had to go and look around and try and what they were spending on services to gender-based violence. And I think what was very concerning for Parliament at the time was that sometimes the money, so that, for example, the training on gender-based violence with police or even justice officials, it is a dedicated budget. That money has to come out of a general budget, which means that it can't quite easily calculate what was spent on training on GDP. So, to a large extent, the department had to go and try and pull this information together. And one of the big recommendations of this report was that what Parliament needs to try and do is to ensure that the department keeps the money for gender-based violence for things we call real things. So it's separate from everything else. So you will know, and members of Parliament will know, that when we do budget every year and get that special vehicle called the Estimate National Expenditure, if you look through that, it's impossible to track what is spent on gender-based violence. And one of the things that Parliament is trying to unsuccessfully get the Parliament to do is that in that estimate of national expenditure, we must be able to see where is the money on gender-based violence going, and we are unable to do that at this point in time. Many years ago, in the times of the previous JMC, there was a temporary resolution that the Department must do this, but it was never ever implemented. So it becomes very almost impossible to calculate those costs. And we were able to do that, but only because Parliament involved in exercising how to do that. So I think that the purpose of the session is to begin to look at how do we address all of that. Because what this study showed us is that what the state, and it doesn't cover all the costs, it's actually something to some of the costs. But what it showed us is that what government is spending on violence against women is so great that it would be cheaper to bring into preventing the violence. So while you need to provide the services that are so expensive and it costs so much, that money must go into preventing violence. And the study also has to look at not just what are the costs to government, but what are the costs to victims, those women who aren't able to go to work or take days or six because they have to go to court, etc. So in the context of this study, it's about we put this together, but how do we now act on that? We've never as Parliament actually taken these recommendations and looked at how to implement them. And that's the purpose of this session today, to look at, we have this now, how do we ensure that we implement the recommendations, but also how do we ensure that on an ongoing basis we are able to extract this information from departments? And I think that so that's only possible if Parliament, in a very serious way, through the Women's Caucus maybe, says that their committees must try and interrogate Department's budget from a gender perspective. And one of the things that I thought that I just maybe raise in closure is, for example, about 2 years ago, there was some difficult decision to re-roll out the sexual offences course. What we've seen is that when we do the picture for on-course, ask departments on where is the money for that, it's been severely underbudgeted. So in terms of this study, we asked the department, kind of what does it cost to run a sexual offences course? On average, that cost is $4 million per course with the operational costs and the service costs. And then we asked them, well, go and add what is allocated to the course. And what we found is that they allocated $1 million per course. So if it costs 4 million and allocates 1 million, obviously there's 3 million short support. And every time they come back to Parliament to report on this and this is art, they're not made the building available. So Parliament says, please come back and find the money, and then it all comes back into the unable to do that. So there's also the issue of how this works today. There is a political imperative, but it's not implemented in practice, and how does Parliament begin to exercise oversight over those kinds of issues. So here, that's the background of the session. Just specifically is to look at the recommendations in the report and ask what specific actions the Parliament should take. How do they continue to monitor the Parliament in terms of their spending on gender-based violence, and what is the mechanism for this? And how can we ensure that gender-based violence targeting is institutionalized so that we make sure that we eliminate the women's budgeting initiatives and that it's running smoothly on an ongoing basis? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Joy. So, that's our brief, honorable members. You can even focus, like, when you look at the report, we've got various recommendations on various departments, social development, there are things that have been said, health, there are things that have been said, like social development, how do we treat the victims, do we have enough social workers, do we, you know, go to health, yes, the victim will go to hospitals. Is there any, are there any resources specifically that are put aside for gender-based violence victims, or for them to go to hospitals, come back, there is nothing that is being done, go to staff, do we have to test in a discussion in the year, what is it that you say? And as it said, even the amount that have been estimated, or to many care centers here, look at the other budget for one victim, but I'm finding that in the budget of the department that you are concerned with, that you are looking at. So that's the gist of our discussion. Yes, it has been very testified, but what are we doing to make sure that we implement what we find in this document? What would be our reason to do this to say? The things that have been highlighted here, the things that we can come up with, at the end, see them being implemented, we get a way of monitoring them that indeed our victims are being taken care of the way it is. But above all, let us not even go, let us not even reach to the stage of having the victims. How can we make sure that we don't even reach them, but we treat them that are getting there to the department that is planning for that, the issues of prevention. I would buy a talk of gender-based violence, even in education, we see now and again female teachers, female principals being paid and so forth. What is it that you do? If the department is getting for that, if not, what is it that you feel that those are the things that need to be done? Let me open up all the discussions here, honorable member. But remember, your input should drive us towards the resolution there to say what is it that you want to see happen. Can I give an opportunity to the chairperson of the committee? Then I'll start by, I know everyone only starts on the left, I'll start on the right, to the right, and then come to the side. I'll ask you, chairperson. Can I allow me to give numbers, not names? Then you come to the presentation to the number one. After the chair, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight. So we have got 8 hands. Obviously, I'm bleeding. So people can be just put to a name in this list so that we can take time. Then I will come to my agenda.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Oversight on all the different departments is essential. We've started as the portfolio of women in the presidency to call them. But I can say, it's a great thing. There is a question mark. They've got their budget, but when we ask them for how much is actually allocated to address the plight of women, there's mumbling. Another issue is we haven't called education department that far, but we really worry about the way the department is handling the abuse of little girls. This rape of primary kids, gang rape, raises a question for every woman seated here as to how much work of monitoring what is going on within our four walls is it 1% or is it nothing? And this actually is also perpetrated by our neglect of our children, leaving them, locking them up, and going on with our own errors. And then please, let's stop it. Let's do what is expected of us. We brought this kids here, this world. Then people mustn't actually hide behind the stump and say we are destitute with no money, we know that you can scratch a lot as a woman. And as we see that here, we know that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Number one.
Thank you, sir. So God is
我把老师要去乌山那边，你要到老师那边过一下。所以现在我们那个很难弄，所以那个昆明那边那个的老公在里面住，我们开始做工的，他们不哭了，听歌子，哎，听歌子，我们唱什么歌子？昆明那个啥，昆明那王，人家老师的王，我有一个，啊，我讲讲讲讲，我把我退休了，退休了。另外人家发现他是另外人说了个人家是以前的那种咱们那边那个民族国家，以前的姑姑是嘛，刚刚他是从山西从那边的，所以我也是这样。
Thank you so much. Again, I will read. I like the way you have talked. Those who are the little bit old, we see in the eyes, but at the end.She came up with a recommendation to say, what is it that she thinks must be done or can be done? She raised the point of bringing back the retired lawyer and so forth, so that he can go around, you know, concentrating and teaching women of their rights and each of them. But I really like it to say, as we focus on the recommendation and the idea that you are talking about, make sure that on your PM is just short, just brief, then you see to the point. But at the end, we must come out and say, how to do the recommendation to the Commission to Monica, you know. Now we know that, I think I learned clear. Even the first speaker, who were to say, Department of State Education, yes, there's so much that is happening. Why do they need to monitor their budget? They need to come and show us their budget. I'm trying to say the two speakers that have said it, that we need okay, but the discussion to our preambles and these two recommendations that should be coming up with. Number two.
Thank you, Chair. And my one would be, let us, DJPB, Mano Mano, from KZN Literature. Well, thank you so much, Chair. Well, I'm not going to dwell into all the terms because you know exactly what I'm here for as women. So my one is going to be if we can have more budget into outreach programs so that we can ensure Ubuti, Ama Townships and rural areas, women are aware of the program the government has. And also to support Ama NGOs and NGOs, because those are the ones who are ensuring Ubuti women and children are being catered for. So in that one, I would say, really, but I get a call, Ulaba, because by morning in the emergency, they should ensure it, but support that is because of the women at large. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we need to establish crisis centers even there in the rural area. Second one is very interesting, is the need for the department to put a computer as to how much funding and spending on letters related to database environment. I think there are two main departments here, which I think they are the road layer, the most departments that are looking exactly to the violence against women. That is the SKP and the ESP. I think it is two departments. Each lady can tell us the budget that is set aside for a gender-based environment as well as their programs in place. And ours as lady, as MPL, we should play an oversight role. Not forgetting to do the monitoring and the evaluation of this department. Lady, I don't know what I mean. And to ensure that all the departments does have the gender focus session to perfect gender issues within the department. I think we must also do the assessment of implementation of the women's agenda by the department. Thank you. Thank you so much. And can I, as we move forward, can I also remember, I will remind those who are the best players, even your own faculty. You know, let us not push each other. If everything is done, you know, now we only say you said so, Monica says over here. What is the role of you as a woman in that initiative? Because for me, I think that's the crucial part of really. I'm not using there as women to say I'm taking care of our issues from the initial stages. So that as we move forward, as we are moving with what we have already, you know, been part of. I just want to remind those who are in those positions. Can you hear your very important role on the initial stages as we move forward? Number four.
And you find the I just wish we could see it in a corner in training for FGB good government body. Because this is good government body, the electric token never show up as value goes deep. We call the power of that one when now NGOD or can you want to can and go to the land. Because the next thing is your public is calling every thing that EMP. It's about it is disabled. I think the people are doing this disabled. If I could say, if you don't know, you can tell you what to do. In there, I don't know what to do. You know, and I can give you either. It will go on. And the people who make the water take tape, they have to do it. And then how they ignore it, it's because of what they ignore it was for last month. That's why we didn't have a mama, then the body, home. Because we so,
You know what another thing? Consider a manyama issue. Yes, we cannot take the resolutions here as the umbrella resolution, but I'm here to say the committee on the women on the president. The name of the committee, women committee in parliament. Lama committees they went and monitor voting. They are coordinating, you know. Some of the issues they Mamasol, before you can be for me, come up so that through the world we come up because some of the things where they do the better specific of which they will need a seat that attending, you know. Please don't shy away from doing this. The parliament is there and they're saying we are being monitored by you as our electorate. You will have to ask whenever you have to, but as we are here, come and leave those issues so that you can do so much can be done on those ones. That's very specific what you're saying. And we've got an open document in the parliament. I'm sure both of these chairs will pick up the issues that you'll be coming up with and they can be attended in due course. Number five.
My name is Kukan Sikwena. I am from an organization by the name of Digital Abundance. We are situated in Kuwaiti. I see that the budget focuses, the one that we have here in our city, is focused on departments. And it's not extended to what the NGOs are doing. But what I would like to highlight here is that as organizations that are out there, we are actually complementing what the government is starting in terms of dealing with domestic violence and children that are being raped. What happens is that the intake level, the police will do the preliminary counting when a child gets referred to Tutuzela. From Tutuzela, that child does go back to the police or country. That child goes to, even if that child is referred to DSC, DSC will tell you as an organization that they don't have a counting skill. So we take over to do the long-term counting to that particular client. The details that are raised, because what we are establishing now as an organization that is dealing with counting the rape survivors is that the perpetrators now are targeting the young ones who are unable to speak on their own. And where now the DOJ fails us is when we have prepared that child to be able to speak. And the system that they are doing in trying to assess that child is only focused on whether that child knows colors or not. And if a child might have a problem with knowing one color, then that patient doesn't see the light of justice. It takes time. The child grows up. The child forgets what actually the teacher of what has happened. And that is falls through the cracks. Another thing, the NGOs tend to say we need to be seen as complementing the prevention part, that's what we are strong at as NGOs. We do education to communities and schools. We do training to volunteers that are going to be able to go around and teach others about what domestic violence is. We do awareness campaigns. We have shelters for domestic violence survivors that are not funded. In those shelters, we find out there are no playgrounds for children. There are no services that are paid for to run counseling services for those domestic violence victims. Now, this makes our work kind of not being fulfilled or giving a service, a complete service, to such a person or a family. Hence, we see every social ill that goes on in our community because people are sick and cannot get out of the situation that they have encountered.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to watch our guide picture and we will show code to this thing and they need to make sure get to those three resolutions to have the end.
My name is Yunito Lilapro. I'm coming from the Eastern Cape Chapter. I wanted to check within the parliament in terms of budget for gender-based violence because really we are concerned as women on the ground. If women who are deployed here are not talking on behalf of us, I'm always listening that the budget for gender-based violence is always falling short, not enough. I wonder why, what is that the parliament needs from us so that they can be able to prioritize or recognize or acknowledge that gender-based violence has to be taken seriously. And also looking at the department as a role player, coming from the ECMC, people are looking at the Department of Justice, they are merely saying as NGO. Because if you are doing the lobbying, program checking, where is money or funds for generating violence to the people, what is their role, what is that they are doing for the community? Because as NGO, we always open doors for development saying, let's talk about this. What is that we don't know? What is that we don't know? So that a department can come and tell us, don't take and also suddenly take things for granted. Looking at the issue of the interpretation of students that day, we all are aware that interpretation has got a right to have this day. But sometimes that, what about the victims? You know, you say that around that area, the penetration is staying around the area and the victim will be scared. Now the victim has to be removed to the shelter. So, and then the perpetrator has been free. And you are worried and concerned of what kind of message are you sending to the community for continuous race cases coming up in the area. You know, we are saying, let the Department of Justice come out and help the prevention program and inform us as NGOs what is that intention, so that we don't only claim. Lastly, the Office of Presidency, I would like them to take this serious for us as NGOs, making sure that all the departments are accountable in terms of the gender-based violence. All sectors, they have to be held accountable. Thank you.
Thank you. 1 minute now. Remember, we're all coming back here at one, so we must be done now. Number eight, the last one, this one.
Seven.
Oh, number seven. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seven. Thank you very much. My name is Christina Osala. I'm from Free State Women's Team, organization called Mount Society for the Care of the Agent. Two things that I would like to be considered, the issue of prevention, because what we have noticed is that we are reacting more to crime than preventing the crime. The minister talked about certain programs that we had previously that we are no longer using. Visible policing was very much deterrent in terms of crime. Police used to know when older people staying alone, you know, and so on. They would patrol those areas in the evening, and that has not been done at the moment. So I'm on the issue of budgeting, looking at the area of prevention, meaning that we need to improve the capacity of, you know, in terms of the police, as well as the police, the community policing program to assist with the prevention services. The second issue that I would like to highlight is the rape cases of older persons. In the sense that there should be budgeting for specific costs for older people so that their cases should be cleared up. Older people, most of their perpetrators, get caught free because by the time the case is held after 3 years, the older person has forgotten who that person is, what has happened, and so on. So if we could look at budgeting federal costs for older people, just as it's been done for children. Thank you very much. Number 8.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish to remain anonymous, but I would like to raise the fact that I personally experienced a lot of what many of the teachers have spoken about. I've actually lived in safe house for 4 months, and I've experienced the justice process when it comes to being a victim of family violence. And my recommendation would be that, in my case, there was 7 postponements in 18 months for 9 cases that have come to court. And the suffering that the children experience, as well as the victim in that process, is quite great. And I would recommend that the justice system be reviewed when it comes to the way they deal with domestic violence cases, because I have personally experienced this from senior prosecution that actually mentioned that domestic violence is really a petty crime. And the offenders are required to continue serving and harassing your victims, and as a victim, you have to maintain your own safety, even though they have suspended sentences, that nothing is given any GPS data to show where they are, what their movements are, and that still puts the families in danger.
Thank you very much. I think all these forms are welcome for that. My question is, I think the main and fundamental issue that happened is the coordination between the department and the department. Because from all the ones that spoke, we believe that there is a budget for the domestic violence, no matter how minimal it is, but how it should coordinate it should be that, you know, you get the coordination it should be even directed to what it's going, it's directed to agencies, and looking at the things that we should see those targets are achieved. Because everything, whichever department is standing inside it, we should be doing that, but do we get coordinating? The any center that we get today, these are the budgets that are directed to take this to gender-based violence. Yes, or Department of Justice has remembered so much, but I think if ever we can hold on the plan, then the lot of the children do the first to mom, so then mom does. Then I'll be noticed that. And because you're not the new thing, they can decide mom, so.
I don't think we are here to be put on the spot.
wait.
We thought we're going to have all the discussions from everyone. In fact, that is the reason why we have this round table, because we want to establish where the loopholes are. We are listening, we are hearing from NGOs, we are hearing from legislators from provinces, and what is quite evident, what we suspected, that we don't have a specific
gender, yesterday, where is the DG of the department spoke? She spoke broadly where they see their challenges in the department. And those were, I think, they had speaking about it. The gender responsive budget, how difficult it is, what they've experienced with FSC. And we thought, you know, as a multi-party, that is the forum where we get everyone from all the communities. And to come together, whether we are from the opposition or we are from the ruling party. That is the forum in parliament where everyone, it is deliberately established for starting. And what I've been hearing here is that most of the NGOs really are not getting the information from us, from departments, especially disseminating to the NGOs. Now, I am thinking, what happened to the gender machinery that we have? Because we have a gender machinery where everyone is represented, from civil society, NGOs, and everyone. Otherwise, it means we are working in silence. That becomes the problem. So I think these are some of the things that after this we are going to, as Parliament, we are going to isolate and deal with. We are listening to everyone and we are putting together. That is the reason why we are going to have a, you know, a report next year. And everyone who's concerned here, the Dumakala, my home gender school, before we went for 40 sessions, and all the other people, Namaste Bhattar, Namaste, that we are listening from the Free State, because we have been doing this. This is the department, we are the Master Party. And we as the Master Party, we are not a portfolio committee. That is where everyone from the committee to all the women who are in parliament who sit in all the committee to come and explain to us as much as what their challenges are when they talk about this responsive budget. That is our duty. And some of them here, they've got a problem with the MP. MP who do not go to their constituency office. That is a difference. Because we are saying here, we are public representatives, by the way. And this is our way to go down to explain the legislation and the challenges that people are having and come back and see what we can do. So we are here because we want to improve everything. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Can I not have yet enough? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then all of this. 1. I think the one thing that we are to do, we need to have proper coordination and support on the work that is done by NGOs. As Parliament, we must ensure that when we do conduct oversight, our partner and team work closely with our NGOs at all levels. Secondly, the investigation of the ICR, because the reason why we are unable to prevent some of the gender-based violence cases is this thing exactly which is raised by Chatterton of our department working in silos. Thirdly, staff, legislation review, more clearly on this thing that has to do with statistics. I think we need to have a joint program with the Department of Statistics in reviewing some of the acts that are there, more clearly when it relates to gender-based violence cases. The issue of no bail, the issue of having a state attorney to the perpetrators of gender-based violence and look at the legality of that. Another thing,
I think it's important that it must be compulsory for all provinces to have women caucus, multi-party women caucuses. It's so unfortunate that there are people coming from Eastern Cape who are complaining in terms of how we do things. But I think it's because some are just again, we have not yet reached some of them. Because there's a lot of work that is done in my province by the women caucus. And I find it important for us to have women caucuses. Another thing, I think this is the last one, is the empowerment of MPs and MPLs on gender-based violence, so as for us to be able in each and every public meeting to create awareness on women's rights and the acts that are there to protect women. Lastly, some on women who are because you'll find since 1994, chairperson of the Multi-Party Women Caucus, we have not had women millionaires and millionaires.
Number two, I know we have touched the issue of money, and everyone thank you so.
One of the things that is important is to have a shopping list, so that you are able to see that list can be achieved. So I think we need to combine something, but what is it that you are talking about? Because most of the time, we are talking gender, and gender is great but when we talk, we are referring to women who are suffering, both women and children. But let's say gender, I'm not saying that men do not have problems, but we're talking about gender violence, which is a general thing. But because of the kalaza about the active men, we are focusing on what women have been accused about. So we also need to listen to our language, if it is aligned with what we are talking about. So another thing are the policies. There are still policies that belong in the old era that are affecting women. So I think we need to leave all the policies that are negative and make sure that we do something about that as legislators. And people who are NGOs, they are the ones who are able to identify those things as well. They are working in Nanabandha. We don't want to add labor to the infrastructure. Those are good. But the budget becomes invisible because people are competing about soccer and protest. Instead of complimenting each other and coming together, see, but there is money in government departments, but it depends on how it is used and the people who are assigned to do that. Because we do not have people who have a spirit of servitude. People do not have a spirit of servitude. They are offensive to the extent of the information that government. You know this government in 1994 has put things in order from local to national. There are people everywhere who have been put, but are they doing their job? So that was one of the things that is hampering progress. We must stop the whole time. Because we don't have people, the more educated people who are put in this department, they are not doing what we want to have of them. Let me not be that rash on those who are doing their thing. But we need to also have that spirit of gratitude where people are able to wake up in the morning and know what they are going to work for. So that we don't go through all these problems. Because the social workers are everyone who are assigned to do this. And also we need counseling, general counseling for women. Because all of us, if you are a member of parliament, you need counseling. Because we are the ones who suffer most because of the economy in front of people and address people who have a problem and into our not. And when you assist, you are trying to make other people well. How will you assist that if you are not well yourself? So we need that general counseling. Even in cases like this, when we meet like this, we need to organize those counseling sessions that after the sessions, we go for those things. So that we are able to have our
and lastly, I think it's proper if we could have quarterly reports, especially in the legislature, attack everything on these things. Where departments respond and report specifically on the gender battle, how it has been used, so that we are able to oversight that.
Thank you so much. Number three. Who is number three? I'm number three. Thank you very much, Chair. My conclusion is going to be, I think that place for all the NGOs that are doing awareness on some situation. Because I think so, the approval is better than by awareness of domestic violence. But those people will be employed for 3 months doing awareness, going to each and every organization, senior citizens. They will have some referrals to social workers or whatever. Then the 3 months will be over. You are not finished with that person to take her through with the problem, whatever. When you are employed again, if you are going to be employed, you must again start afresh to the same person. My issue is just if it's a group program of gender based violence, the conduct, the people still don't have the right point, it must be looked at broadly. Telling the staff or whatever, because gender based violence issue is on community. We've got dropouts, they're going to school, we've got dropouts at school. That's what we look at. Other speaker mentioned that the government body needs also to be given training on this awareness because they are near to our kids at school. So that we can see the mechanism given at school because we are facing a lot of problems. Then at the end of the day, substance abuse is also involved in this domestic violence. That's what I'm trying to say. The family really is needed for all NGOs that are doing the work. Our people are working very hard on this gender-based violence, but others are doing it because they see problems in their community and they don't even have a source of income from it. But as others, they don't know even where to go to the source so that they can grow in their organization. But monitoring and evaluation for our organization, also NGOs that are doing the job, so that at the end of the day, we will see what the talent are doing now.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Madam Chief, we must have more conversations like this. I think we are not communicating enough with each other, and that's why we are looking at some of the challenges, but we have this, like, if you look at how much money we spend, people personally in jail, it's much more expensive keeping a penetration in jail than supporting a child. So I think that might be the audience was us. Government, they put everything in place, everything. Last week, the gender commission, Dr. Mapaza, she came out of a gender convulsion, right? The shelter, which has supported our salary and the counselor. She came to the rural area, urban rural Atlantis, to the workshop. It was all the commissions and it was good. And that is the way it should be, because that was the way it was done in the past. The commissions were functioning, government bonds were functioning, TTS were functioning. So yes, it's a budget, we saw gender-based budget. So it does include males as well. And there are all the structures that government did put in place, but nobody is already accountable. And that is where things are currently at the challenge, because we are having all the money can sit, because if justice and social service talk to each other, they should be divergent programs. There should be awareness programs. There should be some vital things going. And this was the very commission that would play a vital role in that. Because they are coming into different communities and share with the community. Then we won't come to events like this. And then only, and it seems that we just want to complain in civil society, but there's no complaint. Nobody listens to anybody anymore. So it's time that we start to listen. It's time that we talk. It's time that the National Parliament, all the Winter Parliament, must keep all these fiction, mass institutions accountable. Because I mean, that is where the money is going. And if you want to read that, I think we are making success this March month for the court interdict, right, are over the moon. So lots of money being spent on interdict, the paperwork and all that. So here and there we can carry out, if we go back to the basics of our intervention, awareness, our information station. And yes, the briefing is so important. We do need briefing. And the first time for the briefing, our sister goes to that they are making a doubt of the women's parliament. Right after the women's parliament, after hours, just a few days later, right? We have worked in the community from morning to night. We see, so we expect something of the women that are in parliament. And I mean, really, I say something because I feel very upset, we are down below. We are the arms and legs of government, and yes, National Minister of Social Services said they must be registered organizations, and I support that because it is the organization that strengthens the arm of government. So it's time that we bring the Women's Parliament back, but it's also time that we have quarterly or every 6 months gathering like this, where all of us work together. And if they look at the jail that is overcrowded, I sometimes operate to be taught and jail, and I feel for my child. I work with sexual services. A lot of that money can be saved if there are diversion problems. What we should say to our leaders in parliament, the female leaders, is you must get your house in order and keep some of the departments accountable. The judges department is not really failing because every court, the rights are taking place. We are in the Eastern State, we eat there. Inshallah, I'm not saying that it's a drop in the clock, but you must come out. It's just up to our people to start to talk to each other so that we can share information and know they are doing something. So things are starting to happen. I don't know if only now, but it's up to the leaders in parliament, our female leaders, to keep the ball rolling and we that are at the bottom level will be supporting us and reaching out to one another. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The last speaker will sign.
Thank you. Same replicas, Northern Tech, provincial legislature. We have this laws and we have these recommendations, but I think that if you look at our municipalities especially, we don't have that gender gap in our municipalities. So I want to propose that we must practice what we preach, and from local level, we must embark it for gender-based violence programs. At least 20% of our municipal budget. And the citizen in the legislature of the portfolio committee on municipalities. Then in our IDPs, we must clearly speak about gender-based violence programs. And we must also put in place monitoring systems in place to measure the impact of those programs. Even if you look at those municipalities where we have female mayors, if you look at the municipalities, they don't have their programs, especially not on gender, but on women issues in the municipality. But also, they must also appoint a dedicated person to drive the program and report quarterly to the mayor, because we, as MPs, the MPL, we go to our constituencies, we will monitor it, but it is locally that things are happening. And if our mayors and our councillors practice what we try to preach, from a national and from a provincial level, then all of us together can then try to address this issue. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the good contributions. I know that someone, so many listeners to say something, but really I just cannot allow anyone right now. What is the best to do now? The joy from the notes, from the contributions that have been given. Surely they have managed to try and dig up some of the resolution where you say this is the gist of what is happening and this is what we want to bring back to the community, to the plenary as Peter waiting outside for the plenary. But before I give you joy, why you are still, you know, trying to pull up the little point, can I give the last chance to Mam Manila just to wrap up, then Joy will be giving the number of our contribution.
It's about time to start talking in one voice. And that will be possible to do. If we agree that there's no synergy in the work we do, in the three C's. spheres of government. That is the main killer. Seriously, if we can claim to rest and be good listeners and we use our time diligently to address the plight of our people, those are very few. Cry out. I am saying this, and I'm happy there are people from the respective legislatures that hold each other's hands and do our diligently. And that will be possible if we actually ensure that synergy is there and accessible. Because in other legislators, the whole program is in the premier office. And we all know that we have very few women who are premier. I'm not writing off the name. Some of them are so concerned about the fact, addressing the fight of this. That is why as the portfolio of women and the president, we are calling all the different departments to say you brought it to your budget, but how much can you earmark to address the plight of women, children, and people with disabilities? We don't get the joy. And one person who is there was demanded that they must come with a proper answer, and the time frame is very short. I then say corporate governance is the answer. Let's work together. Let's not compete. Let's work together to address the climate problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think my memory is emphasizing to all of us that the aid of the MEP contributes that by 2018 we must have eliminated the levels of poverty and the mass reduction, the levels of inequality we are living with in South Africa. And for me, and I think for all of us as we are here, making sure that we empower women will be one of the very highest actions and to make sure that we indeed reach the main objective of the MEP, that by 2030, poverty, inequality is in the region. Joy, can I hand over to Judge Peter Samaya and the President of the
Thank you, Jay. I'm not going to go through all the points because I mean, I think we all care what the discussion is, but I'm going to summarize how to take those points into resolutions moving forward. So in terms of the points that we have today, there are four categories more or less in which people were talking. The first is around oversight over government departments. So all the issues there around how there's a need for Parliament to develop tools to conduct effective oversight over departments. The issues there being that the departments are not presenting information in a clear, coherent way on how money is being spent, that the departments need to be held accountable, that there's a lack of coordination between the different line departments, and that this is a serious problem, and that departments are currently working in silos. So that first issue is around parliamentary oversight and how do we, through multi-party women's caucus, develop the tools to ensure that there's more vigorous oversight in terms of monitoring how money is being spent. The second area to emerge is the need to re-establish the gender response consulting system that we had, and in fact we were internationally we were a model of best practice at some time. And in terms of the discussion here, there were two issues that came up. One is that we need to budget for sponsored services to victims of gender-based violence, but also we need to start looking at what money is going into the prevention work. And then we need to look at what is the money that government is spending, what are the money that NGOs are spending, and how does government support, better support NGOs in some of the work they're doing. I think a specific issue that came out there is that the NGOs are taking over much of the costs incurred for providing counselling and consulting services to victims of gender-based violence. But I think that, you know, again, we need, I think the word is used shopping or checklist. There's a way in which we need to look at how do we develop sophisticated tools to develop the system for daily quantified things. In the third area, in terms of what we were talking about, is the issue around public participation. So that's all, you know, all the issues around, we have policy, we have legislation, it's very progressive, however the problem is with the implementation. And how do we keep the communication, the relationship between constituencies, NGOs, and then the parliament going, so that then the parliament are taking up the issues that are raised in the constituencies, in the work that they do in parliament. There was specific mention there, for example, that seems to impact the women's parliament, but also maybe look at more regular feedback between organizations in civil society, between women's groups and between members and their constituencies. And the point of that is that members get to know firsthand what are the issues that our women, that women are facing in communities on gender-based violence. Then the fourth category that emerged is the area of the gender machine. That some of the discussions, the questions about what's happened with the gender machine, is it working as it should be, those subjects of Commission for Gender Equality, the committees in Parliament, the Department of Women, the Trade Agency, and civil society. That we need to look at what are the gaps and the problems in the machinery, and how to address those so that the machinery is equipped to take up the issue of gender-based violence more effectively. And then I forgot to mention under the issue of the gender response, thing that one of the things that I think many people were talking to is that we can't find where these things are. So we need to again look back at that issue of intense money for improving the quality of women's lives. So the importance of the secret, so it can be seen and it can be monitored, because currently it's not done in that way, where it's in a separate line item within the budget. Okay, so those are the four areas that I'm going to divide any of the issues that emerged into in terms of inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the explanation. But let me leave this request on behalf of the participants. I'm not sure how she can get all these points, but we will understand Joyce has summarized them well, categorized them as they are. But I think it should be good if, they can get each and every member get a real point that has been raised in the commission. Thank you very much, Commission, for the participants. I think, we did manage to get to the objectives that the commission was given. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honourable members and delegates of the round table, we are now going to receive the report back. Can we get Commission 1? Are they ready? Or any commission that is ready, can it report back? Okay. Commission 2? They are not here yet. Commission 3, are you ready? Okay, can we have Commission 3? Commission 3?
Okay, so I'm only voting on Commission 3, which is gender-based violence and budget. A number of issues arose in the Commission. First was around the oversight over government departments. Point there was that oversight of all the different departments is important. We're talking about tax, justice, health, social development here. That there's a big problem in terms of departments aren't always clear of what they're supposed to fall in terms of gender-based violence. That the need for the departments to present a clear picture of what is being spent on DBE. That all departments must be held accountable in this regard, and that accountability needs to be improved upon. There is a lack of coordination between the different nine departments, and that this is a serious problem because they're currently working in silos. It was also felt that departments need to work more closely with NGOs. and that the Committee in Monuments has ensured his oversight over the departments, but that must also look at the being focal points in the departments and to ensure that these are functional, because we know that in some departments they are not properly resourced. We need to be an assessment of each department in terms of what they are doing to improve women's lives. And there was an issue that emerged around the lack of funding to shelters, which is a very serious issue. And that there was a call for the Department of Social Development to make an adequate budget available to deal with the funding crisis with regards to shelters. There was a request that women were going to Parliament to take up the issue of gender-based violence on behalf of women in the communities and in the constituencies. In terms of the Department of Justice, the point was made that in some instances the Department is failing NGOs. It's not clear where funds are in the Department for addressing gender-based violence. And that much more money seems to be spent on keeping perpetrators in jail than what is spent on services to women, children, and more people of violence. There's also a call to look at local government level, to look at establishing center focal points at this level, and to ensure the integrated development plans make provisions for gender equality servicing. Then in terms of what the committee in Parliament needs to monitor, the issue around the abuse and sexual violence towards girls and children needs very careful monitoring. At this point, it's about a third of all the sexual offenders cases. There was a point around the issues pertaining to widows being a problem, particularly in relation to judicial leadership, and the police officers are often insensitive in these situations. A call for committees in Parliament to monitor the implementation of legislation and policies on gender-based violence, and that there's a need for more resources in the budget for outreach programs to the rural areas. The rural areas emerge as a particular point of concern, that there's a need to focus on women's rights in the rural areas and to provide support to NGOs who are working here. Also, there's a need to look at establishing crisis centers in rural areas because service provision is very poorly resourced in these areas. There's a need to understand and highlight what is being spent by the NGOs on addressing violence against women, that in many cases NGOs are complementing the work of government in addressing gender violence, but they are underfunded. Counseling services to victims of gender violence are mostly provided by the NGOs, and they need support for this. So the issue that NGOs spend their resources on public awareness campaigns and they assist with shelters that are not funded, that in particular what is an area for concern is that the service to children in shelters not funded by government. So within the context it's very hard for people in communities to face violence. Perpetrators often get away free and it sends the wrong message to communities that nothing will happen when you perpetrate it against violence. Also, there was mention was made of the fact that some money has been allocated to gender-based violence through the Expanded Public Works Program, and that they need to monitor the money that are spent through them. Then in terms of prevention, one of the problems with our approach to gender-based violence is that we focus sometimes only on services, and we don't think about how to use resources into prevention. This must be addressed, and we must facilitate and build prevention work into budgets. One area here is that community policing and visible policing might also pick up the issue of prevention. In terms of the court, there was a point made that when older persons are arrested, most of the perpetrators get off free, because often the cases drag out, and when they drag out, many older persons forget about the detail of the case, and as a result, the perpetrators get off free. And so there's a need for a special court that expedites these cases. And on that note, we also need to monitor the sexual offences court and make sure that they are fully functional. Because even around the domestic violence being viewed as a petty crime, and monitoring how the courts take up the issue of domestic violence. In terms of gender policy and the role of Parliament, through the discussion in the Commission, it became very clear that we don't have gender responsible policy systems in place. Multi-party women's focus is the forum in Parliament to tackle actual issues from women members in Parliament. It's not clear where the gender community is functioning as it should be at this point in time. As Parliament's recommendation was, the Parliament has taken up looking at gender community and trying to address issues there.
There was also a point around members taking up the issues from their constituencies, so having close communication with constituencies and getting feedback on face-to-face violence and taking these issues up. There needs to be training and empowerment for members and NPLs so that they can adequately take up the issues. We need to have a checklist for gender budgeting to ensure the monitoring of how money is being spent. And then the point is made that there are enough resources available for effective service delivery. So the question becomes, how are those resources being spent and how are they being allocated? And so it is a need for when departments report to Parliament that they should start being forced to report on the gender exploitation budgeting. There's also a call to bring Parliament back. And I think between what the Parliament thinks more here, give us feedback on what members are doing to hold government departments to account. And then we'll also get around establishing a national database where we map and locate all services that have been provided by NGOs or gender based violence. I'm just not very clear on where services are issues today.
Thank you very much. Can we let's hand for Commissioner? Well done, Commission 3. Can we check those that were not in that commission? I'll allow them to ask two questions. Two questions? If I see this, can we clap hands again for them? Thank you very much. Commission 1, are you ready? Commission 2? Well, they are not giving me a council. Honorable Robin. Let's check Commission 1 to support in the meantime.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Emma Gazimbakela. I'm reporting on behalf of Commission 1, which was chaired by Honorable Sagan. The aim for Commission 1 is through the lens of the NDP, advancing women's development agenda through responsive direction. The objective of the session was to outline in which the implementation of the national FNDP can be intended. While gender equality should be reflected in the country's movement for development. The following are the key resolutions that Commission 1 came up after so much deliberation. Commission 1 said there needs to be structures that are tasked with gender mainstreaming in all legislatures, in national, in provincial parliaments, as well as state agencies, and to ensure that these structures are adequately resourced, not just in terms of adequate resources and budget, but also to be capacitated to implement the gender mainstreaming. The example of the structure that was mentioned is that of the gender focal persons unit in the budget. That there needs to be a standardization, that these GRPs needs to be placed in senior levels to be able to negotiate and to influence the budgeting processes. The other example of the structure is that there needs to be a standardization in the placement of unity within the offices of the state of women in all provinces. Another resolution that came about that all departments must begin to articulate gender equity outcomes throughout their planning and budgeting process. In that there must be strategic plans, there must be performance plans, there must be quarterly and annual reporting. In order to ensure that gender equity is clearly articulated, there needs to be proper monitoring and evaluation as well as reporting back about the outcomes. Another resolution that came about is that in most legislatures and municipalities, there are no multiple women caucuses that are able to lobby and advocate for women's issues. It was strongly emphasized that all municipalities and provincial legislatures need to make sure that they've got these multiple women caucuses in place. It was also agreed that
there needs to be more consistent engagement and inclusion of women with in designing and implementing and monitoring the programs that benefit women. This is to make sure that women take ownership of the programs being implemented, because if they participate from the identification to the implementation, then they will be able to take ownership of the programs implemented that benefit women. Another resolution is that efforts towards gender equality must be dealt with in a comprehensive and sustainable manner, involving all relevant stakeholders with clear strategies that align gender equality with policy goals, the global, continental, and regional protocols, and has specific objectives. This speaks to the idea that each department does its own planning in isolation, and there is no collaboration and partnership. And as a result, there's a tendency to duplicate programs. So in order to ensure that there needs to be a comprehensive and sustainable program involving all relevant stakeholders, this will assist with the synchronization of programs. There was an issue about the funding of women programs, and it was asked where there are development funds established, there must be funding set aside specifically for women. There must be funds that are biased towards women's programs. And it is the big and various departments that have funds specifically for women. And it is vitally important that women are empowered and know about these available resources. Okay. Another resolution that comes to mind while I'm talking a little bit is that there is a need to develop a gender responsive budget framework. This will assist the members of the parliament on strengthening their oversight and accountability. Because if there is a standardized framework, when the committees are doing oversight, they will know what to look for to ensure that the budget before them is gender responsive. Another point that was very emphasized was the involvement, the public participation and involvement. Okay, I'm talking to that. Another issue was that the Ministry for Women needs to have adequate budget allocation to ensure that all these men empowerment programs are implemented. Monitoring and evaluation is also of critical importance, because if we've got these policies that are not being monitored and evaluated, we won't know the impact of the policies that we have. Another issue that we need to support is the issue of procurement policies that favor women, that there needs to be a certain mandatory percentage that departments need to ensure that this certain percentage is set aside for empowerment of women. Another issue of importance is that even members of parliament and legislature need to be empowered about the fiscal policies, the budgeting process, to ensure that they are able to hold the departments accountable. Lastly, there was an emphasis on the matter of regional and international participation, which is critically ensuring that as the country are able to learn best practices from our neighboring countries and to share with them towards women empowerment programs. Okay. A very important issue came forth during the discussions of Committee 1 that there is a need to ensure that these resolutions are being implemented, because there is not one situation where they will sit around the round table and come up with a resolution and there is no follow-up thereafter. The next time they come in, they want to see plans. Thank you very much for that. Thank you, Commissioner Noir. Do we have anything to add on the committee?
I think the most important thing that the commission focuses on sanitary and towels, we said that the Department of Education, the Ministry of Education should run this program to make sure that kids and young girls are given sanitary towels at school. Legislators need to engage on the removal of that on the head, on the sanitary towels. So we should work on that. And Mami told us that your committee must be given time, must be programmed. We are tired of meeting online. All multi-party women caucuses must be given time. And issues of women be discussed properly. So I think those are the issues that were left. Can we give them a round of applause again? Committee 3? 2, sorry. 2. Oh.
Good afternoon. The Commission to the focus was on effectiveness of parliamentary tools and advancing women's rights, and headed to the Honourable Simpson. In terms of general comments and observations from the Commission, there was a concern that matters related to gender are focused around particular initiatives such as Women's Month in August, and that there have been the focus on tools we should actually utilise. One of the key issues was that they should have actually been present and part and parcel of the discussions at the round table across the 2 days. And in terms of the boy child that is left behind, she appears to be more focused on the girl child. In terms of challenges, several challenges were identified from experiences and examples that came up for the mission. Overall, it's the unemployment of women were of particular concern. Concerns related to gender-based violence, violence perpetrated against LGBTI persons and sex workers, the high level of cases related to the dependency of victims for financial support, victims staying on account of the fact that they are dependent on the perpetrator or financial support. In terms of implementation of legislation, this appears to be problematic. However, the concern is also that the problem will also be for us to implement it and how they implement legislation, be it official private sector as well as the role of parents in that regard. There was overall lack of funding to implement legislation more effectively, a lack of outreach programs and awareness to raise awareness about the official legislation, so women are aware of what their rights are and how they are actually used. There was an overall lack of time for multi-party and corporate to meet and actually discuss the many issues currently. The multi-party caucuses in Parliament meet once a week over a particular time period, and the state found is insufficient. The other issue which was concerned was around the criminalisation of sex workers and the need for amendment of legislation in that regard. In terms of sexual harassment at home and in the workplace, it tends to be really limited assistance for victims. That sexual harassment in the workplace often not dealt with effectively. In terms of media, being insensitive with regards to further women in the media and the situation of stereotype and discrimination of women. That the serious impact of violence on children with regards to television and programming. The negative effects of social media in terms of forms of recreation, particularly with regards to children. And overall, these challenges were also raised in the criminal justice system. Concerns were also raised regarding implementing more positive forms of discipline as corporal punishment that abolishes in school. There was a problem with the lack of parental support and supervision of children, particularly for children after school with mothers and parents having to work, working long hours, and children not having adequate care and supervision. There is a challenge with regards to implementation of various pieces of legislation, for example, the Domestic Violence Act, Sexual Offences and Rape Justice Act, as well as the extent to which this may be used or not used. A particular example was cited about the lack of police station in Philippines, and given the high rate of crime in that area, that there is an overall lack of follow-up of patients who have been often not treated very slowly. For example, if a surgical patient is in bail, the victims are often not aware of this. And that there is an overall need to look at the backing of silence regarding the baseline. In terms of opportunities, two opportunities are identified to look at how things can be done differently for what is currently in place. So in terms of employment of women of all ages, particularly elderly women, and this was also noted in discussions which have emerged earlier today and yesterday. That we need to consider the role of projects for law, and in terms of being the focal point, as we mentioned before, they should actually start in parcel of discussions like this one at the round table. That we should consider the importance of community health workers and the role they play, that there is a need for more social workers, that there is an overall need for women to be more self-esteem and to ensure that they become more financially independent, that prisons have a very important role to play regards to child rearing, that we need to ensure equality between the boy and the girl child in terms of child rearing. First of all, there is a need for more time to talk and deal, given that there were many atrocities and the impact of the past of our protest, in terms of victim support and perpetrator, that there should be more counseling to focus on not only the victim but the perpetrator as well as the families in that regard. That the model victim relationship should be more back to community, the role of the individual in facilitating the process of healing, and that each person plays an important role in the healing process. And our opportunity at this time is women in sport, and that is a group of area that actually requires more attention, particularly around funding opportunities in that regard. In terms of recommendations, several recommendations that emerged throughout the commission, that there is one, a need for a national strategic plan on gender-based violence. That this plan needed to be comprehensive. There was acknowledgement that the Department of Social Development had to be a plan, but there was clear discussion from the commission that more than what is offered by the current requirement. There was definitely a need for funding for the purposes within the institution. There was a need to focus on laws that address the needs and practices versus the more considered decriminalisation. There was a need to focus on the boy child as well. For more stringent measures to deal with perpetrators of sexual offences, and one of the measures that was noted around castration, there was a need for more stringent monitoring of colour and teacher attendance and the involvement of communities in that regard. And overall, there appeared to be a lack of rehabilitation centres, so there was a call for establishment of more gay centres. There was a need for an efficient court system to deal with the backup of cases, for more funding for improved communication within the criminal justice system. That means improving IDT and keeping victims abreast and up-to-date as well to the process of cases. There is a need for more efforts to focus on positive forms of discipline. There is a need for more psychosocial support and intervention, and therefore more skilled professionals in this regard, for example, psychologists. And looking at offering bursaries for scholars to actually do psychology. And that links to this, that we need to be more psychology spaces in courts, facilitations, and within public health facilities. That we propose the introduction of legislation on teacher education, and that dialogue is required around matters related to challenges within the criminal justice system. And there's a proposal for more stringent sentencing with regard to police screening, and typically for budgets regards to community safety and provinces. In terms of resolutions, there were three key resolutions that emerged. The first related to additional support in the basic education with regards to providing psychosocial support services, teen education, and a focus on the boys as well. A need for a comprehensive national strategic plan of gender-based violence that is fully costed with clear implementation guidelines. And I will ask Robinson just to clarify around the last resolution that focused on setting legislation and addressing human rights violations by raising that of the legal service.
Okay. On the
first
resolution, there was a discussion about there was a request for decriminalisation of sex work, and there was some discussion around that, but we didn't really reach a full conclusion on that.
that I think one needs to strengthen legislation and look at any form of abuse of women and see how this can be resolved. There are many grey areas, and we need to just focus on what is, you know, what we can really achieve, and I think greater dialogue is needed on this. I don't think we can do it all in one short session. Thank you.
Okay, can we give them a round of applause? Any question for clarity or input? Go on. Oh, Honorable Masana. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. She mentioned something about corporal punishment. I just don't hear you well. Can she revisit it again, please? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Thank you so much, Professor. I just want to follow up on the issue of the depletion. I think this was mentioned by the previous speaker, the depletion of services from the department. I think probably just to use a kind of a guideline, like for instance, attached to the specific plan that was developed by the Department of Social Development. Probably, this probably can try to avoid that. A clear set of indicators with the clear outcome at the end of the day, at least the Department, because Department A is doing the same thing, and you find out when you come to reporting, you report on the same issue, and you find out at the end of the day, the data is just all over the show. There is no kind of a report, especially from the Department, to get one information. I think probably a lot of work needs to be done by the Department of Women and also the planning department and the president, so that we can have centralized that, because by when we come to reporting, we can have a department that is able to interpret that data and report at the same time.
Thank you very much.
Response
from the committee.
Honorable
Chair, thank you.
There was a lot of feeling amongst members of the commission that corporal punishment should be brought back, not only at home, but at school. And that parents had actually gone to the schools and said, despite the regulations, the laws, we give you permission to apply corporal punishment. We did point out that this is against our constitution, and that we should in fact try and look at a different way of dealing with conflict and with anger. We agree that children, and especially those who are into drugs, a case was mentioned that I've not heard of before, that sniffing the glue from tacky was something which was practiced. And this is why there's a criminal element in people feel that they are being harassed by a community saying, where are my tacky? But it's a serious problem of anger and the feeling of disempowerment. And we have suggested that there should be workshops, there should be programs to teach and to help families with discipline. You know, one can have family meetings, I won't go into the details, but there's an alternative way of punishing, not just by teacher, but perhaps there's a methodology there. And so we could try and assist in that way. This was tied up with that resolution about bringing in greater peace. Women are peacemakers, they're generally better, we use them internationally. But we also felt that there should be a need to react or to interact with other organizations like the International Women's Peace League. But if we could bring about training, teaching, help, and help parents to know how to deal with children and in a more positive way, then that would help all of us to take the anger out of communities, because we're stressed as well that there's a lot of anger and hurt dating back from the past, and people have got hang-ups, and we need to help them to get over that. So again, the need for psychosocial support, psychological support, not just social workers in court, for example, no, we're talking about court, but there is anger which needs to be dealt with. And, you know, the corporal punishment, hitting of children, isn't going to resolve that situation. It could, in fact, make it worse.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Robinson. Secondly, there is no decision that corporal punishment must come back. They clarified properly. Thank you very much. I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody for being a good listener and your good audience. I'm now going to call upon the chairperson of the committee to come and close the meeting. Before I give this chair line to the chair, where you had it yesterday, every member is invited to the line. Honorable Chair, thank you very much.
This meeting is adjourned.